We're up. Today is the last day of Chavakuk. Chavakuk, we're learning over these last few psukim. Ki se'ena lo sifrach ve'en yivul bagfanim. The se'ena, the vine, the fig will not blossom. There is no yield in the vines. Ki cheshmas ezayis. The olives have lied. U'shedei mosli osa oichel. The fields have not produced food. Gozar mi michla tzoin. From the enclosure, it has been cut off. The sheep, the ain bakar barafasim, there's no bakar and barafasim in the pen. But yet, Chavakuk says, Vani, doesn't matter. Bahashem Eloiza, I rejoice. Agila beloke yishi. And then Elokim, Hashem Cheli, Elokim, Hashem is my strength. Vayosim raglaiko ayaloiza, alba mosayad richeni. You have allowed me to step upon my high places. Lamatseach, for the conductor, beneginoi soy. Do I deliver my melodies. Now let's take a look at the Gra. The Gra I put on the screen. It says here the Ein Yivul Bagafanim. Okay, now I cheated you because on the page before, which I did not put on the screen, there's a one liner that says Ki Seinu Lo Sifrach Hu Golus Bavel Kama Shnemar Shnei Dudoei Seinim Vize Sheamar Lo Sifrach. So Rav Michal will appreciate this more. Rav Michal is the Baki in the Dal Malchias. And the Gra is following in the style of the Targum Yoinasan, who learns that the Se'ena, the fig, is a metaphor for the Golos of Babel. We're now going to list the David Malchios, and the Gra is enhancing what it says in the Targum by giving us a pasuk to cross-reference to support what it says in the Targum. Targum says the fig is Bavel because there's a pasuk. A pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Shnei Dudoei Seinim, in the vision of Yirmiyah sees two Dudoei Seinim, two different Dudoei pots, two different baskets or containers of figs. And in that vision, without going into the details, which I do not know, it's all about Bavel. The entire context of that Nevuah is clearly describing Bavel, and the Nevuah describes Bavel as two different containers of figs. So you see a reference, a biblical source, that figs are a code word for the Malchus of Bavel. Okay, now we go into the next one. The next Malchus is what? The next Malchus is the Ein Yivul Bagafanim. Now we have it on the screen. Zemodai. Okay, Zemodai, Kmosh Amr Chazal, Shashasu, Yain, Venenu, Misudasa, Shal Oysa Rasha. That we explain, we will machav into this. And the reason why Yain is a good code word, is a good reference.
The Ein Yivul, right?
The Ein Yivul, correct, Yivul.
So what's the connection here?
No, Yain, Gefen, Bagifanim, vines.
What's Yivul? What's Yivul here?
Yivul is a verb. Yivul is just saying that the noun, we're only focusing on the noun. The noun is the Gefen. What is the Gefen? The Gefen is a code word for the Golus of Modai, which the Gra and the Targum has to really mean Parasu Modai. The second Golus, when Klal Yisrael experienced the event of Haman, Achashverosh and Haman, who tried to destroy Klal Yisrael. Why is Yayin the appropriate word, Gefen, the Vine, the appropriate term, metaphor for that Golus? Because the entire Churban came about, the entire Sakana came about because Shenenu Me'oisa Suda. Achashverosh invited Klal Yisrael to a party to celebrate their own demise. It's been 70 years since the Nevuah of Yirmiyah, Kibo'oid Shim Shana Efkoid Lubavel. I will visit upon Bavel their destruction for what they've done to the Beis HaMikdash. 70 years has happened, and I will remember the Jewish people. I will redeem you after 70 years of the godless. I will redeem the Jewish people according to the calculation of Achashverosh. 70 years has passed and nothing has happened. Nothing is doing. And if nothing is doing, it must be a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned Jewish people and it's time to celebrate. And who's going to celebrate? The Jewish people themselves. I'm going to invite them to celebrate their own demise. And they came to the party and they drank wine. Their drinking was interpreted in Shemayim as an acknowledgement that indeed we are celebrating our own demise. And what was the calculation of 70 years? 70 years, the Golus of Yehoyachin. There were three different ways to calculate the Churban. You can calculate the Churban 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. 18 years was the time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to dominance, world power. He became the world power. He conquered Egypt, and he established his malchus in the world. The second calculation of 70 years would begin from the time when Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin and the Chodosh VeHamasker, 11,000 of the Jews plus Melech Yehoyachin was exiled to Bavel. And this was another, also interpreted to be the beginning of the Golus. The correct calculation was none of the above. It was not from the time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. It was not the time when he conquered, when he exiled Yehoyachin and the Chorosh VeHamasker, but was when the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed. It's so interesting that we look, it's a Pashut. Of course the Churban, the Golus begins with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But if we were living in those times, we would not necessarily look at it like that. Because what is the Beis HaMikdash? It's just a house? Think of it now. Think of what happened these last 3 months. So we didn't daven in shul. So you survived. You didn't daven in shul. You davened at home. Every single shul in the entire world was closed. Maybe there were some shuls that were open, but ruba de ruba, every single shul in the entire world was shut down. So did Klal Yisrael survive? It certainly did. Was it a big deal? I mean, it was a big deal, but it didn't affect the continuity of the Jewish people. So just because at this point in time, the Klal Yisrael is in Golus, when they reflect backwards, what was the start of Golus? They're not saying it was when they closed the shul. They're saying the Golus began when the bat in Wuhan infected a human being. Okay, think of it like that. If you want to go tell us, when did Corona begin? Are you going to say Corona began the week after Purim? When every single shul shut down? Or are you going to say Corona began when in New Rochelle, when there was a person diagnosed with Corona and hospitalized? Is that where the world became aware of the problem? Or are you going to say, no, Corona began back in November when it was known in Wuhan there is a bat on the loose that has infected human beings, has been transmitted from bats to humans. Whatever, you know, I'm not telling you the conspiracy theories. Whatever, it goes back to November. It goes back to China. How would the average person, I give you a choice, A, B, C. Okay, make believe on who wants to be a millionaire. I'm giving you a choice. When did Corona begin? Did it begin when the bat in the Wuhan made trouble? Did it begin when in New Rochelle, whatever it was, 2 weeks before Purim, when everyone in America all worked up? Or did it begin a week after Purim when they shut down every single shul in the entire world? So then the average person will say it began in China, in Wuhan. It began maybe when in America, when people became aware. And guess what? It's wrong. Buzz, you're wrong. You know when Corona started? When the shuls were shut down, a week after Purim. Because that is what counts. It's the same exact thing. Nebuchadnezzar, there was a Nevuah of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, told Yirmiyah that Achar Shivim Shana, Bi'oit Shivim Shana, Efkar Eschen, after 70 years, I'm going to remember the Jewish people. I'm going to remember you. And now we have to make a calculation. When are we going to calculate those 70 years? You're going to calculate the 70 years from when they closed the shul? Come on. You're going to calculate the 70 years from when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. Nebuchadnezzar is the bat in Wuhan. Then it turns out, who made that celebration? Belshazzar. Belshazzar calculated 70 years from when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, and he was wrong. He was dead wrong. And that's why he was destroyed. So now comes Ahasuerus. He makes a party celebrating that's when in New Rochelle, the people in America, the Choymer Hadavar, it settled into the consciousness of the American society that we got a problem here. So that's equivalent to when Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin and the Chorosh Vehamasker. And guess what? He was wrong also. And when was the Iker Zman of the Golus? The Chorban Beis HaMikdash, when the Shul was shut down. Now this Vart, it's not a joke. I'm telling you a very serious, I'm trying to really make a very serious analogy here. If you want to study, you want to really study what happened to us with Corona. You want to study Corona, really, what was the moment in time when if you want to commemorate, how about that? How about next year? Habaleinu l'tova. Everyone should be good and well. Everyone should be alive and healthy and strong. And everyone should come back Tchias HaNesim. We want to commemorate what happened. What date? Really, I'm not joking with you. What date should the Jewish community set as the date to commemorate this horrific event that took the lives of so many great people? So if you go and you throw out this question in the Jewish community, we want to make a day of commemoration. Maybe, you know, it could be we're obligated to make a commemoration. It could be up here halach, we're mechuyiv to do that. Okay, we're talking about the Holocaust. Holocaust, there's a very big debate among the Gedolim at that time, what to do with the Holocaust. Should it be a special Yom HaShoah? Yom HaShoah was problematic. They ruined it. You know, Yom HaShoah, probably the main reason why Yom HaShoah did not catch on in the Haredi world was because they made it in Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan is not the time to make Yom HaShoah. Okay, had the secular society, the secular Jewish community had much more influence after the Holocaust than the Sheres HaPleita. They carried the day and they made a lot of decisions. And it's the reality. The state of Israel was established on the foundation of the Holocaust, and they called the shots, and they made this bizarre decision to make a day of commemoration, Yom HaShoah, anniversary of the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto, which irritated many of the religious people. It's not the focus, the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto. It's a very noble, a very beautiful thing that happened, the uprising of Menachem Zemba's name will forever be remembered, associated with the nobility, the gevura of those people who participated in the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto to fight back. But is that the correct date to commemorate the Holocaust? 6 billion Kedoshim? Well, the vast majority of the Gedolei Yisrael in the Haredi community, I'm using that word, not a good word, that word, Haredi community, but in the religious community, let's not say the Haredi religious community, were severely irritated by the selection of that date. Had they selected Kristallnacht, the anniversary of Kristallnacht, it's very likely, I can't tell you for sure, that it would be the observance of that date would have meant something to religious people. But because it was done in the way it was done, in Chodesh Nisan, commemorating an event, although it was noble and glorious, many felt it's not the correct approach.
By the way, Menachem Begin always said that it should be commemorated on Tisha B'Av.
Tisha B'Av, right, exactly. But I mean, see, Tisha B'Av is what happened by default. Because we have to study the history, I don't know the history so too well myself, but Tisha B'Av is automatically going to be the default, no matter what. But, you know, in history, let's talk about Chof Sivan. Chof Sivan, we spend time on this, Chof Sivan every year is a day, a tainus. It's a real tainus. It's in Shulchan Aruch. It's the real deal. Commemorates two events. It commemorates a pogrom that took place in the 13th century, a horrible pogrom that took place, and it commemorates Tach V'Tat, the Chmelnytsky massacres. The Chmelnytsky massacres was really a 12-year event. It was 1648, 1649 were the two years of real slaughter. But it was a chaos that lasted for 12 years, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, And until the Holocaust in Poland, it was a very serious day. It wasn't a joke. People fasted on Chaf Sivan. The slichos for Chaf Sivan are much more intense than the slichos for the Dalet Tzoymos. On the Dalet Tzoymos, now with Sidurim, we only have four slichos for the Dalet on each of those days. For Chaf Sivan, there are seven slichos. On Chaf Sivan, we say what's called the Akedah. We say Kemat, the same thing you say Erev Yom Kippur. And it's very similar to the Nusach of Ni'ilah, the Slichas of Ni'ilah. It's a very heavy day. Chav Sivan is a very heavy day. Why? So how could they do that? How could they make Chav Sivan a Tainus? Tisha B'Av. The only day you make a Tainus to commemorate a tragedy is Tisha B'Av. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that that's why the Holocaust is Tisha B'Av. It's not so simple. Tisha B'Av is the catch-all by default. But in addition to the default which commemorates every tragedy in the history of Klal Yisrael, there is very solid halachic basis that if Rachmana Litzlan is a major tragedy in Klal Yisrael, a day has to be set aside to commemorate that tragedy. And we do not today have leadership in Klal Yisrael on a caliber where this type of action could be done. And therefore, by default, everything falls back on Tisha B'Av. But in the time of Tach V'Tat, there was leadership on a very high caliber. These are the people who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. All the Neis they killed with the Shulchan Aruch. And they established a day in Poland that should be commemorated. And Tach V'Tat was no less than the Holocaust. Although the numbers were at the most 500,000 people, which that's a big number, 500,000 people of Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, Jews, this is of very holy people. Many will tell you that that's an exaggerated number. It's more like maybe 100,000 people. But so what? The only reason why the Nazis were able to kill 6 million people was because of technology. When the Nazis first started killing Jews, they used to shoot them. They used to firing squads. And there are only that many people you can kill in a firing squad in one day. And because of their wickedness, they took technology and they came up with means of mass genocide, of gas, concentration camps to gas people, which enabled them to go and kill in a day 25,000 people a day. That's unheard of. They couldn't kill the way they were killing Jews until they came up with this technology. They couldn't kill anywhere near that number. You can't do it. You just can't. And you know, that's even with a weapon, with a modern gun. Go back to the time of Chazal when there were no such thing as guns, no such thing as gunpowder. How do they kill people with a sword? Do you know how difficult it is to kill a person with a sword? It takes an enormous amount of effort to capture the person. And then to actually kill a person with a sword, it takes a lot of time. You cannot kill 25,000 people a day with a sword and a spear. It just doesn't work like that. And then when they came up with gunpowder and were able to use weapons they were able to kill many more in one day, but they still couldn't do anything near 25,000 people a day. It's only because of this technology that Hashem gave this world. They took it and they used it and they abused it, and look what they did. So the numbers don't mean anything. I mean, the numbers mean obviously every neshama. And I'm talking about in Chmelnytsky, they would have done even worse had they had the technology. So the horror of the day is the Holocaust, and they enacted a special day to commemorate the Tzara in Poland. They enacted it in Shulchan Aruch. And we have in the Siddur, the Slichos, is a serious business. So the Holocaust, the Etzem, should really not have been any different. Why is the Holocaust different? It's because we, number one, after the Holocaust, the Sheres HaPleita did not have the leadership. The leadership was in a state of disarray where Klal Yisrael can come together to establish a day. And because we are not able to do that, the default is we fall back on Tisha B'Av. And the only one that did lead the way was the secular state of Israel at that time, which was a purely secular state, totally secular, and they unfortunately selected something which was not at all appealing in the eyes of religious Jews. And that's why today there's a very big divide where religious Jews do not participate in Yom HaShoah. Some of them may have bowed their head in respect to Yom HaShoah, but they do not participate in Yom HaShoah. They feel two things. Number one, in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do it during Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan is not a time when it's permitted to have a national day of commemoration for Chorban. And number two, the day that was selected representing the uprising, which has a flavor of never again, is not in their, not in the feeling of the Gedolei Yisrael, the proper theme that should be the primary theme of a commemoration. It's true. The theme, I don't think anyone's going to say that they totally disagree with the theme of the Warsaw Uprising. As we mentioned, the biggest Gedolei Yisrael were very pro the Warsaw Uprising, but that it should be the central theme that carries the commemoration of the Holocaust? No! So what's a better solution? Well, at that point in time, unfortunately, for some reason, Klal Yisrael was not in a matzav where they were able to come together with a sense of power and authority to establish a day. So the default is, it's Tisha B'Av. Rav Moshe Feinstein, not the Gedolim, they felt we're not on the Madrega to do this anymore. We're not like the Gedolim from the time of the 17th century, the 18th century. We're not on that Madrega. We don't have that caliber of leadership. We're not organized. We're not together to the same degree where we can do this. So Memela, the rule is Tisha B'Av. Now, what I'm trying to say over here is, what about now? What about Corona? Corona took from us, I don't know the numbers, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 people who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. I mean, that's serious business. If we had leadership of very high caliber, there is no doubt that for I don't know how many years it would go on for, but the Rishonim, right? There's a Rashba, there are a lot of Rishonim that talk about the obligation of Jewish leadership to establish a day to commemorate a tragedy. So now let's say we would commemorate the tragedy. What date would you pick? I don't know. What would be the date? Think about it. What date would you pick? If you ask the average person in the street, tell us, we're gonna make a date to commemorate. What do you think is the appropriate date? Everyone will take out their smartphones and start looking up the history of when it started. I think most people will say in America, for us, New Rochelle. When the doctor in New Rochelle was hospitalized, when the pachat spread to all of us, uh-oh, we got a big problem. He was put in quarantine, it was in the news, it was big, big news. Some people say, no, let's go back to when they shut down the laboratory in Wuhan. I don't know. I don't even know all the pratim. All that's a very big black box. China is not known for transparency. So, but how many people would say, I think the day of commemoration should be the day when the majority of the Batei Kinosios or Batei Midrashos is shut down? Go look it up on the calendar. Everyone shut down pretty much at the same time, maybe like a week apart. I don't think the difference between the first shul and the last shul is more than a week apart. Pretty much it was like 1 week, one after the domino effect, one after the other. Would that be the day you want to commemorate? I'm not so sure the average person would say that should be the date. Now, look back at the Churban of Yirmiyah. Be'oid shivim shana efkoid eschem. In 70 years from this horrific moment, I will remember you. In the world, they didn't decide to commemorate the event the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. In the world, it was a davar pashut that the moment of commemoration of this event was when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. He conquered Egypt, and he appointed a king. He changed the melech. I forgot my history already, but he flexed his muscles. That was the day, and the whole world acknowledged. He had such gaiva. He was willing to take out the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash and celebrate. And what he was doing was, that's right, he's right. The Baal Shem Tov wasn't a tippish. He knew what he was doing. Who would think it's the closing of the shuls, it's the closing of the Beis HaMikdash? And when it was discovered that that's a mistake, that's not what it means here. What is the Zman? The Zman is the Golos of the Chorosh Ve'Hamaske. Oh, that's right. Now we're serious. Now Nebuchadnezzar comes to town. He changes authority, changes who the melech of Klal Yisrael is. He has flexed his muscles. Ad deikach, to remove the melech and appoint a new king, Tzidkiyahu, and to take the king Yehoyachin into Golos with the Choresh HaMasker. Oh, that's the moment from where we're going to calculate the 70 years. And guess
May
what?
May I say something? I would like to put the thing together. When it comes to Chorban, you cannot pinpoint when it started. The fact is that we fast on Asara B'Tevet, on Shivasa B'Tammuz, and then we go to Tisha B'Av. It means it was in stages.
And some Gedalia. And some Gedalia is part of that process.
And then it Nitke'ah Choma, and then it went in, and then Chorban Beit HaMikdash is Makevet Patish. That's it.
No, it's not even the Machapatish. It's not even the Machapatish. It's Tzom Gedalia.
Is the same thing. It's going to be in stages.
Okay, the Gula process.
You cannot pinpoint and say, oh, this is the day. Oh, this is the day.
That's right.
No. And we have Chazal who decide which is the date. And like Hanukkah, we said Hanukkah. But you know, the war started before and so forth. Geulah. The only Geulah that was on time exactly is Yitziat Mitzrayim. Kachatzot ha'layla ani yotze b'toch zeh, and the next day, all B'nai Israel, there is no question when the Geulah shel Mitzrayim started. And when the Galut Mitzrayim started, I'm not sure if we know it. Hulevet Yitzchak, 400 years, Kirit ben Abtarim, the Chorban, we don't know yet. The Geulah, we know. That's what it is. And we are not going to see the same thing with the Corona. It was in stages. One stage, it's China, and then it's the Hun Roshem, and so and then the Makeba Patish, the Chorban, like you said, closing Beit HaKnesset, and the Yeshivot. Definitely, this is Chorban Beit HaMikdash. Exactly.
It's stages. 100%. You're right. There are different stages. You're right. 100%. But one thing we do see that today, what do we have left? There are four tzaymas. All the four tzaymas are part of the process. The truth is really five tzaymas. There is there are 4 months. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. What is the tzom of Teves? Is the tzom of Teves the 10th day of Teves, when the siege began, or is Teves represent the 5th day of Teves, the Yom HaShemua, when the report came back to the Goyim to tell them what has happened? So if you look at the process, there are 5 stages in the process. Stage number 1 is the siege, Asar B'Teves. Stage number 2 is 2.5 years later, the Asara Shivasa B'Tammuz. Stage 3 is the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Stage 4 is Tzom Gedalia, the assassination of Gedalia. The Sheres HaPlate in Yerushalayim, they were exiled. Stage 5 is Hei Teves, the Yom HaShmua. From these 5 stages, what do we commemorate today? Well, Hei Teves, we don't commemorate at all. Yom HaShmua, we don't commemorate. Asar b'tevi shavasa b'tamuz, in some Gedalia, we commemorate light, lightweight. We only fast by day, not at night, and only eating and drinking. But Tisha B'Av, the day when the Beis HaMikdash, that we, from the five stages of Golus, of Chorban, the one that we emphasize the most is the day when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. If we would take that same pattern, those five stages, and apply it to Corona, what would be the appropriate day to commemorate? The day when the majority of the Batei Kinyosios, Batei Midrashos were closed.
Right.
That's an observation. Okay, all right, whatever it is. Obviously, we're not on a Madrega today to do that. Obviously, it's not going to happen. Okay, it's obviously, there's no way it's going to happen. And I can't imagine. We don't have such authority today, leadership that would come together to do something like that. And so what is the default? The default is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av will be now a responsible rabbi, a community will always commemorate Tisha B'Av. In addition to focusing on the Holocaust, will also focus on the tragedy of these 2,000 people who left us. And not just people who left us, the damage. You know, Corona statistically has not touched the children. The children did not suffer very, very, now there's a new thing, there's a certain type of disease they attribute to Corona, but b'derech klal, the children were not affected by Corona at all. That's in the physical element. Spiritually, Corona attacked the children more than anyone else. The spiritual essence of Corona attacked with the greatest intensity the Tinoikoi Shel Beis Rabban. It destroyed their lives, disrupted the structure of Chinuch, of Musar, of Chaverim. Corona really attacked the children. That's who it attacked. The ruchnius of the children was severely attacked. Gashmius, the adults, the seniors, they were attacked. All right, let's now go back. So this is the idea of the Golus case. Okay, so we got sidetracked with this. This is a very important idea of in the Gra. Now let's go further. Back to what it says on the screen. Sheshasu yayin v'nenu misus shloisa rasha kichei shmasa zayisu golos yavan. Okay, this is Yavan. K'moyu she'amru zal v'timu kol hashemonim. We were mechaving to this yesterday. Ushe demois zehu golos edim k'moyu she'amar tzion sade techarash. Right, so this pasuk tzion is a sod that will be plowed over. It is interesting that the Gra is interpreting this pasuk in reference to the bias Sheni. Okay, the Bayis Sheni Tzion, Soda Techaresh, the Chazal really do that. They do that. It refers to the Bayis Sheni, like a Soda. It turned into a Soda. I saw today one of the Farshim, another reason why it refers to Edom, because who is Edom? Esav. And what does it say about Esav? Ish Soda. Esav, who is Edom, is an ish sodeh, a man of the field. So when it says ushe demois, which means a sodeh, it refers to the golus of Edom.
No, okay. That's the next section. That idea.
Okay, what do you mean the next section? I mean, what? What do you mean by that? Okay, right. The second version. Right. That's the second version of the Gra. Right, the second version. Okay, next, loyasa oichel k'may shenemar mibnei zal afois ra'av. Okay, the pangs of hunger. Gazar mimichlet zayin haynu b'mei Moshiach ben Yosef. Now we're going to pass. We're going to post al malchus during Moshiach ben Yosef. Sheyargu kama v'kama ve'ein boker barafasim haynu b'mei sheyivuchu yishol mina yishlam mikol eretz Yisrael. So he's adding over here the Gra, this is our very typical Gra. He's adding over here Mashiach ben Yosef. In Ikvus of the Mashiach, there's going to be a Melchama. Mashiach ben Yosef will precede Mashiach ben David. Okay, that is a Likut. The Likut is very similar. Let's just skip that. Let's go to Pasuk Yud Ches in the bottom.
I wanted to mention, I looked ahead, and in this second version, it's actually, I think, an improvement over the Targum, because it says it links Madai to drinking, not killing the kings of Madai, which frankly makes no sense. So in that respect, it's also an improvement over the Targum version.
Okay. Right, because he actually explains, he gives you the details. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. V'ani b'Hashem Eloi Zahaynu Sev Golos Bavel Shenlokim Hashem Nigmasev Nigmas Heichi Chole V'nisha Bavel. I rejoice in Hashem. This is the end of Golos Bavel. Now he's doing over here something which is very important. What he's doing over here is, this is the first time we're coming across this idea. Pasuk Yud Ches, he's now coming to create a parallel. He's going to say now that each expression in Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes parallels our survival in these Dalid Malchios. Ze l'uma ze. So in other words, here he goes. Pasuk Yud Ches, V'ani v'Hashem Eloiza, Hainu soif golus bavel. We started off in Pasuk Yud Zayin ki se'ein Eloi sifrach. The figs will not blossom. Meaning, Bavel, in the time of Bavel, when Bavel is dominant, the Jewish people will not be able to blossom. Yet, we will survive. What is the survival of Bavel described? Bahashem Eloiza, in Hashem I rejoice. Hainu soif golus Bavel, shenokam Hashem nikmasa, v'nikmas hechole, v'nishav Bavel me'es Hashem, min hashamayim. Our survival in the Golos of Bavel is described with the words of rejoicing. So, how did Golos Bavel come to an end? It came to an end with permission to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, when Koresh destroyed Bavel, the Jewish people exulted. It's a very important word over here. That is, it led into our great joy in now being permitted to return and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. What was the success of Golus Modai? Next words. Agila Beloke Yeshi, Hainu, B'soiv Golus Modai. Shoyeshi Hashem Es Yisrael, V'omar Mi Buchem Yikol Amo Yi Elokav Imo V'yal. We survived our survival of Haman and Achashverosh is here being described with the words Agila Beloke Yish'i. That's Purim. Purim represents we have survived Golos, Paras, Umadai. What do? We have Purim. We eat and drink. We are Agila. We rejoice Beloke Yish'i. Next. Navani. Zmane Haina. Let's skip the Likud. Let's go now to the next page. I have to put on the screen for you the image of the next page. Okay, so now we turn to Pasuk Yutes on this page. Elokim Hashem Cheli. Okay, now we switch. Elokim Hashem Cheli. Who soiv Golus Yavon? You are my strength. Shenosan Hashem Koyach Lasos Chayil Ulenatzeach Esoivim Kemosha Amru Giborim Biat Chaloshim. Isn't that beautiful? You are my strength. We are the Giborim Matisyo Bonav Giborim Biat Chaloshim. Chmosha Nemar Verarti Vonayach Tzion Albonach Yavon Vesamtich Kecherev Gibor. Vayosem Raglai Koyolois. Oh, so now we're coming to the holiday that we have not yet come to. When we survive Edom, there will be another holiday. And this words expresses the sentiment of celebration that we will experience at the time of this moment. Vayosem raglai koyolos hu besoif golos Edom, k'moy shenemar. Le'eis tamut raglom v'chosh asidos. When their feet will falter, and v'chosh asidos, and they will be swift. Things will happen swiftly. The album mosaike. So this pasuk refers over here. At least it means there's going to be a chosh means swiftness. There's going to be a swiftness in the events of the world. So here it's telling us it really is an amazing thing. Think about this. That's exactly what's happening now. Think about that. We are living in a time now of warp speed. Everything happens now super, super fast. Okay, what used to take years happens now literally in a second. We live in the global village. You can travel. You go look on the screen. You can see, you talk to your grandchildren by the Kaisel. In an instant, information travels in an instant. We can travel physically in an instrument. We have today Amazon Prime. You can get your package. One day service. They're not back up. They're not yet up to speed now. Corona has severely cut them down. A lot of people, they're committing suicide because Amazon Prime doesn't deliver their package on the same day anymore. They cannot deal with that. It's like, how could you live in a world where you don't, if you press the button, you don't get the package, bo bayom? Some people just cannot handle that. So they're getting better. They're getting better, but it's going to take some time until they finally get back up to speed in delivering your package, bo bayom. They have to get those drones back up in the sky. But in any event, we are living in a world, this is an amazing insight. The Gra is prophetic. He's saying that the Geula, the sentiment of the Geula in the time of Edom, which we're living in right now, is a Zman of warp speed. Is that a real word even to say that? Or that's from Star Trek. We're living in a time when there's real, where things happen, you'll make my feet like Ayolos. This is the joy, that's the sentiment. Things are happening so quickly. The world is spinning today so quickly every day. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Every day the rules change. Now what comes next? You think we're finished yet? Vayosem raglai v'albomosayadrichenu hainu b'mei Mashiach ben David k'mo yishenemar v'yato kodosh albomoseimo yisidroich. When Mashiach will come, the sentiment will be that we will stand on top. We will be supreme. We will be raised to the highest level of superiority, of respect, of power and dominance. Lanatzech b'negino esayhu who's the Lizman Techias Hamesin. Kumar Shanemar, Colt Sofayach Nasu, yeah.
Do what canon that Simch Nastan and Zatzal used to say, the Tain Chayim, that Mashiach, that usually take years and years, will be at super speed.
Instantaneously.
Just think about the era of communism, which normally would have taken, you know, when you think about industrial revolution, to a few hundred,
instantly.
A worldwide movement of communism. It started in 1917. By 1990, 70 years later, it was done. So excessive speed, and that is one of the signs that the Chafetz Chaim used to say, one of the main signs of Mashiach. Things have to occur.
Absolutely. Terrifying. Okay, so we have over here an awesome parish from the Gra, telling us the beauty of the Gra is he's coming to make the parallel. He's making the parallel between, he's following in the theme of the Targum, which takes Pasuk Yitzayin and brings out the Dalid Malchios, plus what comes afterwards, Mashiach, the Melchama of Mashiach ben Yosef, and he matches up the celebration, the victory, in the next two psukim. Vani v'Hashem Eloiz is the sentiment of the success, the survival of the bias of Golas Bavel. Do we actually celebrate? I forgot that. We once learned something very interesting. We today celebrate every single year our survival of Gol of Paras Hamadai with Purim. We celebrate the survival of Yavon with the celebration of Chanukah. Where do we celebrate? What holiday do we have where we celebrate our survival of Bavel? What's the holiday? Is there a holiday that we celebrate Bavel? I remember we once learned something. I don't remember. Is there any holiday that corresponds to our survival of Golas Bavel? Does anyone recall anything? Does anyone want to suggest something? Is there any special day of the year that reflects that we survived Bavel? And if not, why not? Why do we have a day to celebrate Paras Hamadai and a day to celebrate, and a holiday, 8 days to celebrate Yavon, but we don't seem to have a holiday to celebrate our survival of Golos Bavel? Where is the holiday?
There was no celebration because we were still in Golos. One right after the other. We just move from one kingdom to the next.
I know, but we do celebrate our survival of Paras Hamadai with Purim. Purim, yeah. In essence...
Yeah,
is...
but it was because there was a miracle.
Right. It's about getting through Bavel was also a miracle.
Bavel, there was no miracle after Bavel.
Well, the
day you could pin.
The day, no, Baal, I know, but Purim also is not a day. It's not the exact date of transition. It was way before. Purim was a high point where there was a change. There was a change where Bavel, well, Paras Hamadai, we survived Paras Hamadai. What about Bavel? Michal, are you talking? I can't hear you, Michal. Are you speaking? I can't hear you. Someone is trying to speak, but I can't hear a word you're saying. Uh-oh, what happened? I lost your body. Sorry, I lost something. Uh-oh, what's going on here? Your body, sorry, I lost you. I'm sorry, I lost you. Hello, you hear me?
I'm lost also.
Okay, body, sorry, here we go again. New technology problems. I don't know what happened over here. All right, let's do it like this for the next few minutes. Can you hear me? All right, let's just do this for a few more minutes till we finish the shiur, then we'll figure out what happened, what went wrong over here. This should not have happened. This is supposed to be good, solid stuff here today. Can't believe this is happening every day to me. All right, any event, let's try to finish up over here. So we have your parallel. Okay, now before we conclude, there's a very important part that explain. We have to explain why it says over here Elokim Hashem Cheli. What is all that about? Elokim Hashem Cheli, which we're changing Hashem's name from Midas Hadin to Midas Harachamim, and the answer lies in the previous pasuk. In pasuk Yudches it says Va'ani BaHashem E'Eloiza Agila BeElokei Yeshi. And Pasuk Yudches, first comes Yudke Vavke. Chavakuk says, I BaHashem Yudke Vavke. And then he says, Agila, I rejoice, BeElokei Yeshi, Midas Hadin. So first is Midas Harachamim, And then is Midas Hadin. And then he goes on to say, Elokim Hashem Cheli. Elokim Hashem, you are my strength. So the Farshim explained this to me is that when a person, the ordinary procedure in this world is first comes Midas Harachamim, and then comes Midas Hadin. We learned this in the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes, V'yoyim B'roi Hashem Elokim Es Hashmai V'aretz. Hashem says that when I created the world, it was my intent. It was my intent that the world should operate on the principle of Midas Hadin. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashmai V'aretz. And when Hashem saw that the world would not be able to survive Midas Hadin, Hashem was mishtatev to Midas Hadin, Midas Harachamim. So be'etzem, what we need to survive, okay, we need to survive, is Rachamim comes before Midas Hadin. However, as we get along to the end of days, by through being Makdim, Rachamim, we are then able to transform Midas Hadin into Midas Harachamim. There's a process. We first start off, Ani b'Hashem Eloisa. I come into this world, a person, let's say a child, an infant comes into this world. An infant that comes into this world cannot do anything for himself. He's dead on arrival. An infant, what can he do? He can't eat, nothing. An infant needs his mother to pick him up, to feed him, to clothe him, to bathe him, to care for him. A child is subject to pure rachamim. A child cannot possibly earn his keep in this world. An infant has done absolutely nothing to deserve the kindness that his mother and father shower upon him. They give him food, they give him shelter, clothing, protection, warmth. What did this infant do to deserve the kindness that his parents have showered upon him? Nothing, absolutely nothing. A child, an infant, is a recipient of rachamim. There is absolutely no din whatsoever. And then what happens? As he gets older, he realizes that he has a duty to make his own way, and he goes out into the world, he educates himself, he learns a profession, and he then earns his right to exist in this world. It is a process. It is a process of every human being has to go through to be a recipient of chesed, and then as he matures, he realizes that it's no fun to be a taker. You have to be a giver, and he adapts, and then comes to the madrig of Midas Hadin. When he then comes to Midas Hadin, he earns his keep. He then decides, you know what? Now it's my time to give back to society. It's my time now to take this that I have earned with Din, is to continue the cycle and shower chesed upon someone else. This is a healthy lifestyle. Every living creature comes into this world, it's Midas Rachamim. The Midas Rachamim, when you mature, you then want to be Isaac and Din to earn your keep. And then, after you've earned your keep, you have a natural desire to do chesed, to continue the cycle, to take what you have earned with Din and to do chesed with the next generation to continue the cycle. That is what is taking place here in Pasuk Yud Ches. We are describing Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach, like you see on these wedding videos, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. You know what that really means? When they write it on the wedding videos, you think the parents, you've paid for the wedding, and you no longer have to spend money on us. You think this is the end of the time that you have to pay for us. This is just the beginning. You're first going to have to shell out big bucks now to buy us a house, to pay for our children, to pay for their tuition, and to pay for our grandchildren's tuition. This is not the end of the cost of life of spending. This is just the beginning of what you're going to have to pay. Okay, that's a joke. But in any event, there is a cycle. There's a cycle of life. Here, Chavakuk is telling us we're coming now to Yemos HaMashiach. the cycle is going to continue. In Bereshis, Hashem created the world, Hashem did chesed. B'yoyim b'roi Hashem, yud kei vav kei chesed, rachamim. After this rachamim, we then have a yearning to earn our keep, to go into din. And now the cycle continues. We, as human beings, have to now do chesed to take the midas, what we have achieved with midas hadin, to continue the cycle and to do chesed with the next phase of our existence. So Pasuk Yutes cannot be viewed in a vacuum. Pasuk Yutes only follows from Pasuk Yutches. Va'ani, we're summarizing over here our whole existence in this world. Va'ani, Klal Yisrael, the civil mankind, for 6,000 years, Bahashem Eloiza, we have been recipients of Hashem's rachamim. We didn't deserve anything. We rejoiced. But as we got older and matured, we began to earn our keep in this world. And we reached a level of agila, where we can have a much deeper pleasure in this world, belokeyishi, by relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our salvation with midas hadin, elokei is lashon elokim. And now the cycle can continue. Now that we have elokim, we can take our midas hadin and what we've earned and bestow chesed. That we can take the elokim and now become Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and be bestowers of chesed in our relationship, cheili, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what gives man the greatest pleasure. This is what allows our feet to go quickly, whatever. I don't know how these words follow through, but it's a cycle. It's a cycle. And the secret to appreciate Yud Pasuk Yutes is to understand that it comes after Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, Rabbi, so I think that's going to be pretty much it for Sefer Chavakuk. It was quite an incredible journey. The uniqueness of Chavakuk is he's writing a tefillah. He's the only Navi, I think we mentioned amongst the Nevi'im, that presents his prophecy, at least in Paragimel, in the form of a tefillah. Tefillah l'Chavakuk. And he concludes with words which are really only found in Tehillim. L'matzeach b'negino soy. He witnessed it starts off in the beginning of the Sefer with harshness. Chavakuk had a very tough take on what he saw in this world. He was very, very harsh in the beginning of the Sefer. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu calmed him down, told him, chill out, take a cold shower, don't get all worked up. Hashem has a plan. That's pretty much the main theme of Chavakuk, and the Mefarshim say is Chavakuk is coming to bring out this point that don't be swift to second guess Hashem. Hashem has a plan. More often than not, it's not easy to see, to appreciate, but with patience and with Yirat Shamayim, a person will be able to see Hashem's plan, and that triggers man's response to pray to Hashem and to praise Him. Tzfilah l'Chavakuk HaNavim Paragimel is the response to his conversation with Hashem. In Perak Aleph, he's bitter. He's bitter watching Tzadik V'Raloi, Rasha V'Toivloi. Perak Beis, Hashem says to Chavakuk, calm down. Relax. There's a plan. There's a big picture. You don't understand everything. Don't expect to understand everything. Just chill out. And Chavakuk comes to terms with what Hashem told him, and that changes his outlook on life in Paragimel, where he asks Hashem for forgiveness for his impetuousness in challenging Hashem's ways, and his prayer that indeed we should be able to accept Hashem's plan and derech and be mispalel for the coming of Mashiach, to witness the miracles of what will be, and to also to praise Hashem for Jewish survival. That's another important theme that we unfortunately didn't really bring out well enough. Chavakuk and Perek Gimel, according to especially the last couple of psukim, is an expression of praise to Hashem for Jewish survival. That's not a theme that appears often in the Nevi'im. We have insights into different events, but to thank Hashem and acknowledge the pasuk the Netzach Yisro Lo Yishaker is the hallmark of Chavakuk. That's will survive Golus Bavel, Modat Parsa Moda, Yavon, Edom, V'chulu V'chulu, and may Chavakuk in Shemayim be for all of us a Melitz Yosher. Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet together to study His holy words 3,000 years since the day that He said these words, and His words obviously live on very, very much in Klal Yisrael, and especially amongst the members of the Morning Kol of the Young Israel of Midwood, who every single day to delve into His holy words with full intensity and sincerity and depth. And in that merit, with Toivea from Chavakuk HaNavi, that He should be for everyone here a Melitz Yosher, to succeed, to be successful, to be Zeichet to Baracha, Hatzlacha, Yeshuais, Unachamais, and for Him to bring the tefillos before Hashem, for everyone, that Hashem should be Mimale, Kol Mish'alois, Libchem, L'toiva. Okay, we'll take a short break now, and then we're going to continue our discussion of Birchas HaGoymel, and then maybe we'll do some other things afterwards. I'll see you back in 2 minutes after I figure out what went wrong over here on my computer.